we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. And I want to let you know that we are back to our ordinary, I won't say normal, but our ordinary Wednesday service this week, where we have kids ministry, where we start feeding the kids at 6. Their classes start at 6:30, and then we move on to the adult service at 7 o'clock, wrap everything up around 7:45, and we are studying Psalm 91, so we want to encourage you to come out and be for that. We did have an awesome time with Bob Fisher this past week, and just really, really encouraged by everything that God has done, people getting saved, and the Spirit of God moving in people's lives. Some of the listeners to the radio program came out, and we want to thank you for supporting that and pray that God has blessed you immensely. We want to say thank you this morning to Bill Andriak at Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If you are here in the central part of the county and could use someone to come out and take a look at your unit, give them a call and have them come out. I have really been enjoying the cooler weather. On Monday of this week, I took the evangelist out, and we played a round of golf, and the weather was just absolutely gorgeous, not nearly as hot as it has been. But that indicates that cooler weather is just around the corner. I like it when I drive around and see those marquees that show the temperature, excuse me, and it says 60-something degrees out there of a morning. Those are refreshing to me. So that also means that it might be a little cool for you and you might want to turn your heat on. It doesn't do that for me, but cooler weather is on the way. So you might want to have your heater checked out before the cooler weather arrives. So I just like to thank God for what he's been doing at Merritt Assembly of God. We did have wonderful services. Our October was the best month in just about every metric that we have, people getting saved, attendance in our Sunday morning services, the adjustments that we made to Sunday nights, which led to increased attendance on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, have been some adjustments that we've made there recently, have led to larger attended services. People have been calling and saying that the programs have been blessing them. And so we just want to say thank God for his many blessings. October was one of our best months. And so we want to say thank you for praying for us and ask that you continue to do that. There's so much that we want to do, and we are praying for God to give us the resources as well as to give us the wisdom that is necessary for the configuration of our facilities to make sure that we are able to minister to all these people. This last Sunday, we also had an extra special treat, and that was one of our former staff members. They were down in Florida on vacation and drove over and spent Sunday morning worship with us, and it was good to see them. This person had noticed the hurricane and was really concerned about our well-being because she saw that it was coming for Merritt Island. And so she had offered to come down and help, you know, however needed to be, we needed help. And so it was just really, really good to see her and all that God has done in her life since she moved back to her home state. So let's get into the word this morning, shall we? Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 1 says, "Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. And in his quiver, He has hidden me. And he said to me, You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, Who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him, for I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. I want to stop the reading there today. We will get into the remainder of chapter 49 as we proceed. But I want to start off here in verse number 1, and it says, The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name. In verse number 5, it says, Who formed me from the womb to be his servant. I want you to know that you are not a cosmic accident. You are not a mutation that happened as one of your ancestors swam out of a tree and fell out of a swamp. I said that exactly the way that I meant to, because I believe that concept of you are just a chemical reaction that against all odds just happened to come into being. I find that absolutely beyond belief. I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God called you from the womb, that just as John the Baptist could experience the joy of the Holy Ghost at hearing the mere sound of Mary's name while she was carrying Jesus in her womb, that there is something that takes place. That baby that is growing inside of a pregnant woman is not just a mass of tissue, of lifeless tissue, but it is a work in process being crafted and formed by Almighty God in the image of God for the purpose of God, and God calls them by name. We have an election 1 week from today, and everybody has their priorities, and you have to stack those priorities. I encourage our congregation that you don't vote for a person, you don't vote for a party, you vote for policy, you vote for that. And so for some people, the top priority policy is, what are you going to do on the economy, or what are you going to do on education, or guns, or what are you going to do in all of these areas. And I told our congregation this last Sunday that for me, God has been in charge of my economy when Democrats were in the White House and when Republicans were in charge of the White House. I don't spend a lot of time fretting about the economy because God is my provider. He is my economic source. I'm not looking to the government to be my provider. I am looking to my God to be my provider. So that is not my top priority. I know a lot of seniors get instilled with fear and say, well, what are you going to do with my Social Security and Medicare? And for that, their top priority. What are you going to do with the government? Well, God is my shield, my fortress, and so I don't have to worry about that. I want to tell you what my top priority is, and that is my policy that is at the top of my agenda is, what about those babies in their mother's wombs? I heard a statistic that the number of babies killed since Roe v. Wade was legalized. Just because it's legal in America does not mean that it's right in the sight of God. That the number is now approaching something like 70 million babies. If the economy is your top issue, I want to ask you, how many houses would 70 million people need? How many cars would they need to buy? How many clothes would they wear? How many malls would have had to have been built? How many inventions could have been taken place? There's bicycles, there's schools. You know, all of the secondary issues, those issues have been magnified because the demand for products has been lessened because God had given us a tremendous gift of life in people having babies, and we chose convenience over blessing. So for me, I want you to know today that you are not an accident. You are on purpose. The other thing that I told our congregation on Sunday is you vote for the pendulum. Our country used to be a godly nation. We would sing things like God Bless America, and now you if you were to sing that in a politically correct form, I don't even know if they would let you sing Bless America. I know that they would get their feathers all ruffled over the word God. Even though we have it on our money and God we trust, the word God has lost its place for many people in a politically correct society. I want you to know I am God's. I'm a child of God. I'm called by God, purposed by God, provided for by God. I'm not afraid to mention his name, nor am I ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So if I'm not going to discriminate against somebody, I'm going to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to die for your sins so that you and I could be freed, so that we could be filled with the power of God. That's where I am. So if you notice, the pendulum of society has been swinging away from godliness, and it has been swinging rapidly towards a godless society. And so if you like the way that pendulum has been swinging away from God, then you continue to vote that way. But if you want to see the pendulum stop, or at least have its momentum slowed, then you vote that way. You see, I'm not going to get everything that I want in this election. I would like for a candidate to be there who knows God, who hears from God, who prays and asks God for wisdom like Solomon to lead this great people, because who could lead this great people without the wisdom of God? That's the candidate that I would like, but there is no candidate on the horizon that has that mindset. And so I'm just praying, what are you going to do with this pendulum? You see, for me, life is something that is very, very precious. I told our congregation, we got a video that was sent to us last week. We received it later in the night. My son had sent it. It was a video that showed him playing with our grandson. And the grandson was just having a great time. And our son was having a great time. And the grandson was giggling. Well, like I said, it got to be late at night. And my wife was laying there in bed. And she is just playing that video over and over and over again. And it's bringing this big old smile to her face, because that's her grandson. And that's her son. And they are enjoying that moment, having a great time together. And there are 70 million giggles that this world has been deprived of since 1973, and that's not okay with me. By the way, I've heard worldwide that the number is somewhere in the neighborhood of 330 million, and that's about the population of the United States of America. Can you imagine? There's an entire country that is missing from our current society simply because we haven't realized that God calls us by name, forms us in our mother's womb. He makes mention of his name. And I want to go on and to another point here, verse number 2. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Please do not limit what God can do in you just by your personality or just by what is left of you. I want to encourage you that God is a transforming God. He can make you. It says here, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Now listen, if God can empower a donkey who cannot speak to speak coherently to a prophet and get his eyes open to see the precarious situation and path that he has chosen, if God can enable a donkey to speak, if God could cause the very rocks to cry out in praise if we chose not to praise him, What can he do with your mouth? You say, oh, well, I'm a soft-spoken person. So was I. I'm an introvert. So was I. Well, I just don't like to make myself heard. Neither did I. But you know what? God has the ability to take you and use your mouth for his glory. Moses identified himself as a man with a stammering tongue. He wasn't comfortable in his own physical ability to speak. And God said, who made your mouth? Now, I always like to point out that in Acts, I believe it's chapter 7, that it says there of Moses that he was a man powerful in speech and in action. Well, how did he get that way if he wasn't, if that wasn't his natural persona? How did he become a man with a testimony inspired by the Holy Spirit that he was a man powerful in speech? How does that happen? Well, it happens when God takes you from where you are and supernaturally transforms the circumstances to give you a mouth that is able to speak truth in a manner that will pierce through doubt, it will pierce through unbelief, it will pierce through deception, it will pierce through opposition and adversity, and it will reach the heart of the person. God's word never misses its mark. So I want to encourage you to use your mouth for the glory of God. Use your mouth to bring forth praises. Let your praise pierce through the darkness and through the discouragement, and let your praise rise before the throne of God because he is worthy to be praised. Let God transform your mouth into an instrument that he can use. In the shadow of his hand, he has hid me and made me a polished shaft. I like that word there. Again, this speaks of the transformational capabilities of God. And I want to focus on this word polished because the polish that would be on an arrow would be to enable that arrow to pierce through the air with greater ease, less friction. But if you know anything about polish, it has to be applied, and then there has to be some pressure, there has to be some friction. It has to become one with that arrow. That polish has to permeate down into the wood, as what this would have been made of at that point in time. It has to go down in there so that it would glide effortlessly through the air. He has made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. God made you and I. He made us for this purpose, that we might serve him. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, you and I need to adopt that mindset that, God, we are here to serve you. And when we serve him, it needs to be with this mindset: God, you will be glorified in my life. How different would our lives look if we adopted the mindset, God, I want to live this day, I want to live this morning, I want to live this hour, I want to live this moment to bring you glory. I want you to be glorified. How, oh God, would you like to be glorified in this moment right here and right now? Verse number four. By the way, if you think that the prophets, the men of God, never experienced any of the realities that you and I experience, I think you would be mistaken. Listen to what God has just said He says, "You made me a polished shaft, and his quiver has hid me. And he said to me, 'You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified.' Then I said," this is Isaiah, "'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain.'" Isaiah just said, you know, I don't understand necessarily the correlation between what has just been spoken and this transitional thought here. But I do realize that Isaiah is saying here, I have wasted some of my time. I've labored in vain. My strength was for nothing, and it was vanity. Now, I don't know if Isaiah was saying, you know, I regret some of the decisions that I made. I don't really see a whole lot in Isaiah's life that says that he wasn't pursuing the path of God. We've spent weeks and weeks and weeks talking about Isaiah here. But I do know that he says that his labors were in vain. The scripture says that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain that build it. That's what it says. Isaiah says, "I've spent my strength for nothing." And I want to encourage you today. Make sure that you are taking care of your physical temple that God has given to you. Make sure you're taking care of yourself physically. I've spent much of last week attending services from people, for people that I love dearly. And some died young, some died old. But they both died in love with Jesus. But make sure that you take care of yourself. I'm working to take care of myself physically, because I want to finish strong. I don't want to finish broken. I want to finish whole. I want to finish strong. And I attended a memorial service last Thursday, I believe it was, last Thursday, and person that had been a blessing to our church and a blessing to my wife and I, and she had planned out her memorial service. She knew who was going to read the scriptures, who was going to sing the songs, what songs they were going to sing. She knew who was going to read poems and what those poems were going to be. She was a well-read woman. She was 93 years old, I believe it was. She had planned her service, and even as she was laying in her bed, knowing that her time of transition to eternity was coming, she mentioned, you know, that she wanted her feet covered and when she was laying in the casket, and they began to discuss some shoes, and they said, "Would it be okay if we use these?" And she said, "Yes, those have non-skid soles, and those streets of gold may be a little slippery." She already had she knew where her eternity was. She knew who her hope was. And she said, "You know what? 93 years I have lived on this earth." She had been a pastor's wife, and I don't know about a youth pastor's, but her husband had served faithfully in our district well into his 70s and maybe 80s, still working a full-time basis. And she knew this: everything I've done for God was not for nothing. So I want to challenge you today. God formed you on purpose, for a purpose, called you by name, called you to be a servant of His. What are you doing with the strength that He has given to you? What are you doing with the intellect that He has given to you? What are you doing with the wisdom that He has placed inside of you? Are you passing that on to the next generation? Are you making disciples with it? Are you serving Him for His glory? Or are you doing all that you do in your physical strength for nothing? I am looking for what it says. Next, it says, yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work with my God. You see, there is a day of reward that is coming. That reward is either going to say, you know what, everything you did was in vain and for nothing, and it is all going to be burned up as wood, hay, or stubble. Or are you doing what you do with all of His might working inside of you, the might of Almighty God, flowing through you? Are you doing it by faith? Are you doing it for the glory of God? Are you doing it so that your mouth is transformed into a sharp weapon that will be able to disable and disarm the enemy and all his evil hordes? Are you able to bring down deceptions and imaginations because of what He is doing for you? Are you able to help someone to achieve new levels of growth in their life and new levels of maturity? The things that you are doing, are you doing it for nothing, or are you doing it for His glory? If you're doing it just to be doing it, then it's wood, hay, and stubble, and poof, it will all be gone. But whatever you are doing for the glory of God, your reward is not lost. Do not be discouraged. Do not say that your labor is in vain when you have done it for the glory of God, because it is not. His reward is on its way. His reward is with Him. And the work that you do not do it by yourself. You do it, as the prophet says in verse number 4, my work with my God. We're getting ready to close the program today. Some of you are at work already. Why don't you adopt this mindset today? I'm doing my job with God right here. I'm doing it here with the strength that He gives me, with the wisdom that He gives me, with the insight that He gives me. Don't just put God on a shelf and say, well, God, I'll see you next Sunday morning right before I go to church. Say, God, I need you to help me in my home life. I need you to help me and be with me in everything that I do. I tell you, life with Jesus is a whole lot easier than life without Him. And I want you to know that that's not just for the unbeliever that's true. That's true for the believer as well. I want to encourage you, do life with God and the Word of God, and you will find that you have a great deal more joy, a great more sense of purpose, and a great more deal of fulfillment when you realize that you're doing it for the glory of the Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.